I love how this feels, everyone visiting and seeing each other. So yes, you are experiencing the remnants of the Women's Conference. We had over almost 1,000 women here for 22 hours, and it was a gathering of the generations. You can tell the flowers are beautiful and some leftovers here, and Johnny Bishop Garlington was here once. He said, "Don't you guys ever have flowers in this place?" So John took a picture of this and sent it to him this morning. He said, "Yes, in fact, we do have flowers." This is our dream tree where women wrote their dreams, and it's some things that we will pray over them in the coming year. So it was just a rich, rich weekend. And one of our remnants, but she's not a leftover, is our dear friend Wendy is here. And many of the women know her because she was here 2 years ago as our guest speaker. And she and her friend Alicia said, "We'd just like to come in for the conference." And we said, "You do?" So she's going to be speaking in just a moment. But for some of you that don't know her, I just want to give her a proper introduction so that you understand what a gift it is that you're receiving. So Wendy actually hails from Texas now, but her roots are from Lancaster County. And her grandfather was actually the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania in the 80s. So she's from around here. It's like you're coming home, though, when you're here. So Wendy's been a worship leader. She's been a pastor. She's a motivational speaker. She's a publishing and branding expert. But mostly she knows God as her friend. And she moves in the miraculous. She moves in the prophetic. And what I love about you, Wendy, is that when you're with someone, you see the person. You see them. And I attended the writer's conference. I've been to a couple writer's conferences now. I know. The books are coming. But so I wrote this. She asked me to write something about when I attended. And this is what I wrote for you. And it just gives you a picture of who she is. Wendy is a class act that calls to the class act in you. She creates opportunities to experience excellence from every angle. She hits the refresh button of your soul and causes your eyes to see the glorious adventure God desires your life to be. This is a fresh one because of a recent conversation we had. She finds places in your life that you didn't know were there. And she activates untapped dreams and reignites the you the world so needs. So I give you my dear friend, Wendy Walters.
Thank you. I promise I will not do a rerun of the Women's Conference. And for those of you who are here, I got comfortable with that floor for just a minute. We'll try to have a little more dignity this morning. So greetings to you from Fort Worth, Texas. It's a lot warmer in Fort Worth than it is here in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But in many ways, it's really, really warm right here in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You guys are just have become my friends. I love people in this house. I really respect Pastor Charles and Ann. And you guys, I don't know if you realize, and when you're in a place all the time, sometimes you don't realize how special the place you're in actually is. But I have the privilege of traveling around and speaking at lots of places, and you guys have such an amazing blend of both experience and sound doctrine, sound teaching. And a lot of times you're colored one way or the other, and you guys have this grand blend. So if you don't know how special this place is, I want you just to take a minute and thank God that he placed you here. Amen. They're going to throw a slide up for me because, you know, sometimes you go places and you need a little context. So we're going to throw, this is my family. I'm the 7th generation of ministry family. So right there in the middle is my mom and dad. We had a wedding, so this was at a rehearsal dinner. So that's me and my clan is on the side and my brother and his clan on the other side. But I just wanted to give you some context of where we come from. And one more they're going to throw up. Okay, and this is not a great picture, but this is at the end of a conference. What a blessing I have. This is all my kids and my husband. They're supporting me. I mean, we're at, you know what it's like at the end of a 3-day event. And somebody just captured this picture of all of us kind of organically together enjoying. So that's my husband, Todd, and my son, Josh, daughter, Kate, Emily, and my son-in-law, Rhett. So I just wanted to give you a chance to know who we are. All right. Are we ready? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. To him be glory in the church, both now and forevermore. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. Immutable. Incomprehensible. Sovereign. Omnipotent. Omnipresent. Preeminent. God, we honor you in this place today, and I thank you for the anointing that flows. I thank you that you have for every one of us victory. You have for every one of us, you've already purchased. You've purchased our redemption, and God, I thank you. I don't want to waste one drop of that precious blood that has flowed from your veins. So God, I just invite you this morning to speak through and speak to and call out and call up in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. So it's not uncommon. Prophetic people, the words another level comes out everywhere. And sometimes you think, if I hear one more person say, go into another level. But God spoke to me about another level. And instead of being going a level up, like in this season of my life, I have found this beauty of instead of contending for things for myself, contending for my healing, contending for my, I find that I'm in this place where I'm contending for others. And while I'm busy contending for others, he's just taking care of my stuff. And another level to me doesn't necessarily mean always a level up. For me right now, another level has been a level deeper. It's been like you're submerging, rigged for deep submergence. And he takes you down into the depths where very few people are, where you are dependent. You know, have you ever been seen anyone who does scuba diving or you know, goes under? You have to be connected just to stay alive. But there's things down there that other people don't get to see. No helicopter flies above, you know, they fly above the mountain. And you know what a mountain looks like, even if you haven't been on one. But to go down into the depths to mine treasures, you have to become so dependent. There's less light, there's less oxygen, and there's pressure. Y'all excited about the other level? I knew you would be. But that's where I feel God is taking many of us. I'm not saying everyone here, but many of you, there's a call going out even today. If you will go with me, I want to take you to another. I want to rig you for deep submergence. There's treasures I have for you. And there is healing for you, every situation that you're in. But I'm telling you that your healing is not even about you. I say it one more time. Your healing is not even about you. Your deliverance is for you, but it's not about you. Your destiny is not about you. And we have done a very great disservice in the body of Christ. And I have even participated in the best intention, and we have everyone thinking that if I'm not living my best life, level 10, 100%, full out, excited every morning that I get up, that something's wrong with me. I'm telling you, your best life, level 10, full on, is when you're submitted to Jesus. I doubt Joseph felt like he was living full out in the bottom of the pit. He couldn't declare himself out of the pit. He couldn't make a bunch of faith statements out of the pit to be the palace, could he? Now, that's a little bit counterintuitive because I believe in declarations. I make them every day. But my declarations are about more my character, more my confidence, more my faith, more my hope, more my belief. It's more about alignment with Jesus. And then the circumstances just align if I trust him. How many of you like it when your kids tell you what to do? I don't like that so much. I like it when I have a conversation with them and I like to ask them what they want. I like to have that dialogue. But this is a season where God has something for us that is bigger than us. Say, bigger than me. My destiny is bigger than me. Okay, so this weekend as we were in the women's conference, Anne did such a beautiful job at framing the past. And we talked about how it's so important. Everything in your present right now, everything in your future has been framed by your past. Where you are right now is the result of every decision you've ever made, every decision you've ever abdicated and allowed someone else to make, everywhere you are right now, it's framed from the past. So it's important for us to know what that is. It's important for us to understand our history, our personal history. It's something, it's a gift God gave us called hindsight. How many of you can look in the rear view and you can see clearly where you did well and clearly where you did not so well? It's hard in the middle. You do the best you can, but hindsight is a gift. And hindsight leads us to insight. Hindsight leads us to insight. You have to take a little time to reflect so you can get to insight. What were my hills and my valleys? What were my trials? What were my disappointments? What were my victories? What were all these things? So in the body of Christ, even now, there's this, we talk about self-awareness, and y'all know I'm very much about that. I help people move into levels of self-awareness, but the real only way to have self-awareness is God awareness. And the more you have God awareness, yourself gets so out of the picture that suddenly you are very in tune with your character. You're very in tune with your behavior and your emotions because you're not thinking about yourself. You're focused on God, and this is a byproduct. It's a byproduct. So I find as I go around to conferences and speak, and we have more amazing teaching and revelation that I feel like at any time in history. So why is the church not alive with victory and overcoming? If we have access to the best Bible teaching and the best experience, and we can Google and find out anything, if teaching was going to get us across the divide, why are we not there? And I was reading rereading a classic by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. If you've never read it, I believe every Christian should read it. And I came across this thing where he was talking about horses, training horses, and what we do in the church. Now, this is him writing in the 1940s. How what we do in the church is we're training people to be better and better and better horses. We're training them how to leap over the obstacles and run the course and be faster and better and better and better horses. I've been to a lot of horse conferences. Training us to be better and better and better horses. Stronger. More endurance. Technique. Shave off the time. Better and better and better horses. But God said, I am in the transformation business. I don't want you to be a better man. I want you to be a different man. I don't want you to be a horse. I want you to be a winged creature. And if God wants us to be a winged creature and we keep learning how to jump hurdles that he means for us to fly and they're not a hurdle at all. I'm ready for transformation. I don't want to be a horse if I've been called to be Pegasus. I want my wings. I want transformation. And I believe that this pausing and reflecting on hindsight leads me to insight so I can find out where I'm at and I can find out where God wants to take me. So it's important to honor the past so I can move out of it and not get in an endless loop. Any of you ever been like, how did this happen again? With time management, with weight, with whatever. We find ourselves... Wait, deja vu. It's Groundhog Day. Anyone seen the movie Groundhog Day? Over and over and over again. Okay, from the Isaiah 40, there's a scripture that says, every valley shall be exalted. So I'm reading this as every valley, as every difficult place, every trial, every hurdle, every valley shall be exalted. And by exalted, I believe God's going to use it in preparation for us. And have a purpose. Every trial in your life, every valley shall be exalted. It has a purpose. It's preparing you. And every mountain and hill, every bit of your pushback, every obstacle will be brought low so you can overcome. Look at your neighbor, say, I can overcome. The crooked places, Wendy's version, in your character, shall be made straight. Somebody say, I want to be made straight. And the rough places, Wendy's translation, in your personality, shall be made smooth. Look at your neighbor and just smooth them a little bit. That's the same scripture that talks about your warfare is ended and your iniquity is pardoned. This is a process. Every valley being exalted, every mountain and hill brought low, crooked places made straight, rough places made smooth is a process. It's a process. And that insight allows us to have some processing. You know, we sing the song, I love the song about in the pressing, in the crushing, you are making new wine. I want to be bread and I want to be wine. Except I'm a stalk of wheat and I'm a grape. And between being able to be serving communion, before my life can become bread and wine to you, the body and blood of Jesus, I've got to go from being a stalk of wheat to a loaf of bread. That takes a little processing. That takes a little grinding down. That takes a little mixing in with other ingredients. That takes being mixed up. That takes being baked. It takes being punched down as dough when you rise. I got it. Nope, we're going to punch you down again. Making bread is a process. We don't like the process. If I'm a stalk of wheat, I can't declare I'm bread and I'm automatically bread. Now, I'm a stalk of wheat. I see my future as bread. I declare I'm moving into bread status and it holds me when I've been crushed and ground. And I see the bread and when I'm crushed, it holds me when they mix in water and yeast. I see the future, I declare it, I step into it, but I have to realize there's a process. In nature, if something is born as an adult, it's a mutant. It's a freak of nature. Processing is not bad. And the supernatural sometimes accelerates a process, sometimes takes us to a level, but you never get there without process. You never get that without process. Same with grapes. They have to be crushed and pressed. And you know something amazing? Think about roses. Everything's value increases after the processing. You take roses and squish all the petals into rose oil, and that little bottle of rose oil is really expensive. You take grapes that you can pick up at the grocery store, a big bunch of them. Okay, but you buy a bottle of wine, it's a lot more expensive. Olive oil, that pressing, that first pressing, it has more value on the other side. Everything that's been processed, it's because God knew the end from the beginning. He knew what he was going to make you to be, but you need the processing so your character can sustain you when you get to that side. Am I making any sense? Okay, so there's a scripture that talks about they have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Okay, where am I going with that? That's a good question. In this processing, what happens to us, if you think about it, we have a memory of the being the wheat. We have a memory of waving in the wind and the sun. We have a memory of being there. And then we have the memory of the moment when we've been crushed and ground. And we might have the memory of when things got added to us and we got stirred up and we got kneaded and punched down. We have all these memories. In psychology, it's called fragmentation. There's a fragmentation that happens to us. And in order for us to be whole, which is what God came to make us, he called for you to be whole, spirit, soul, and body. There has to be an integration of all of the stages, everything we've been through. We have to understand that that crushing didn't stand alone. It doesn't define me. It's just a moment in the process. And I want to have these things integrated into wholeness so I can walk in victory. So he's done this amazing thing. He's told us that we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And many of you know I am gifted and anointed and experienced in helping people handle their testimony. It's something I love to do. I help people honor their story and honor the processing and everything they've learned through the processing. There's power when we recognize, when we have a little hindsight and get some insight about things we've been through. We have a testimony. Somebody say, I have a testimony. And so anyone I know that has ever written or done anything like that gets a new level of victory. And I think it's just a matter of the fact that they've honored the process. They've looked in their rear view and handled it with some dignity and some grace. And they've submitted and surrendered. They get a level of overcome that people who don't, even people who journal, have this benefit because they're just helping that fragmentation find integration so they can walk in wholeness. You still with me? Okay, hindsight leads to insight. Fragmentation, we're trying to take it to integration. So in this last season, I've been asking God to show me, all right, I've seen this amazing pattern with people when they write something, this new level of victory, new level of overcome, doors of opportunity. What's that about? And a dear friend of mine and I were visiting about this. Her name is Lisa Jeanette. And we were talking about how it's, you see, the blood of the Lamb plus the word of our testimony equals overcome. The blood of the Lamb plus the word of our testimony equals overcome. What does that mean? So I've been really leaning into, what does it mean? God, how do we apply the blood of the Lamb to the word of our testimony? It's not a formula. Nothing in the Bible is a formula, but it is a pattern. There must be a pattern for how do I apply the blood of the Lamb to my testimony so that I can overcome. So I just started leaning into that. God, what does it mean, the blood of the Lamb? It's the power of Christ over every part of my story. And I went back to Exodus. If you go into Exodus, you'll see that when Moses talked to the children of Israel, what did they have to do? Before the deliverance, when it was coming, they were to take the hyssop branch and dip it in the blood of a newly slain lamb. And they applied the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say applied. They appropriated the blood of the Lamb across the lintels of the doorpost. They put, and what it did for them is it provided deliverance and protection and a God-provided future. If you'll go to that, that scripture for me in Exodus 12. Now the blood shall be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Okay, so we know this is the beginning of the Passover. So what it did when they put that, it provided protection for them. If the blood of the Lamb was applied to the doorway of where they lived, it provided protection from them from darkness and death. So when I have my story and I apply the blood of the Lamb, it protects everything in that story from darkness and death. There's protection available in my testimony when I apply the blood of the Lamb. It provided deliverance. The second thing it provided was deliverance. Overnight, the bonds of Pharaoh were broken. They were in slavery, and the next day, they were free. Now, how many of you know Promised Land wasn't the following day? What happened between deliverance and Promised Land? Process. Man. Okay, but the blood, the application of the blood of the Lamb was deliverance. At that moment, they were free. Shackles were removed. I find most of us, the minute that someone takes our chains, our shackles off, you know what we do? We don't actually remove the shackles. We just polish them up and turn them into jewelry. We have gotten so used to wearing them. We like them. We need the weight of it. We polish them and we wear them around like a badge of honor. This is what happened to me. You don't know. Nobody knows. We wear them around like jewelry. But God said, if you apply the blood of the Lamb to that thing, you're free. You have to appropriate it, but you're free. And the next thing this did was it was the promise of a new day. If you look there in Exodus 12:2, he's telling them that this will be the first month from here forward. We're counting our days from here forward. You're going to start right here. This is the day we're changing the calendar. You're going to remember that when you apply the blood of the Lamb, come on. When you applied the blood of the Lamb, everything changed from that moment. You started numbering your days differently. Your children were going to start numbering the days differently. Forever, it's a promise of a new day. So the blood of the Lamb brings you the hope of a new future. When we apply the blood of the Lamb to the word of our testimony, we have deliverance, we have protection, and we have the hope of a brand new future. And it takes a conscientious, intentional application of the blood of the Lamb for you, for that to happen. You have to apply it. The blood's been shed for you. It's a gift. You have to apply it to your life to have these benefits. If the blood of the Lamb is still sitting in the jar outside of your testimony, the angel of death has legal access. Somebody say, I'm ready to apply. The fourth thing the blood of the Lamb does is it provides a witness. So much so that even the Egyptians recognized, and many Egyptians went to the door. Let me in, let me in, let me in. And even though they were not believers and they were not children of the covenant, when they saw the application of the blood of the life on the door and they were willing to just step inside, they got the same protection, the same deliverance, and the same promise of a new day. The blood of the Lamb on your story is to be a witness for someone to come inside and partake of every promise that you have access to. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. This is powerful, ladies and gentlemen, that we begin to apply these things to everything that's happened to us. In John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Do you know the blood of the Lamb has a transcendent value? That's not even a word we hear very often, but there's a transcendent value. The blood of the Lamb addresses every human need. It addresses sin. It addresses failure. It addresses spiritual bondage. Listen to me. The power of the blood is greater than the energy of our humanity. The power of the blood is greater than the energy of our humanity, which left to itself goes in a constant loop of things that harm us, things that trap us, things that bind us, things that bruise us. The only way you're going to get out of that loop is when you apply the blood of the Lamb. It saves and delivers, it heals, it redeems, it restores, it cancels the weakness of our flesh, and it neutralizes the enterprises of hell. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I only overcome when I appropriate the blood of the Lamb to my testimony. Now, can we throw up the slide that just says testimony? If you're taking notes, I want you to write in big letters, all capital letters, testimony. If you don't take notes, pull out your phone and text yourself. Anytime I need encouragement, I look up my name in my text stream because I text the most amazing things to myself all the time. I am my own best friend. Testimony. Somebody tell me what is right in the middle of testimony. What's right in the middle? I am. I am right in the middle of my testimony. And I love rehearsing your testimony, but I don't have the same power when I talk about your testimony that I have when I talk about my testimony. I'm right in the middle of that thing. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I'm right in the middle of my testimony. Now, if you look at the word testimony, I'm kind of a word nerd. But that's by design. God made me that way. That moni, that suffix moni in Latin, you know what that means? It means status, it means role, and it means function. So write that down. Moni means status, role, and function. And we'll come back to that in just a second. Okay, playing our little game show, what is at the very front of the word testimony? Test. Test is right at the front. Well, there's a couple of meanings for the word test, and they're not all bad. Think about this. Any product is about to be put into the marketplace, before it can go into widespread use, somebody say, before it can go into widespread use, it first has to go through a procedure and a process that's intended to establish its quality, its performance, and its reliability. Before you can go into widespread use, you have to submit to a process that's going to help make sure your quality, your performance, and your reliability. And no one on earth puts out something with their name on it that they haven't put through some testing to make sure it lives up to its promise. So some of you who feel like I'm stuck in a cocoon and I don't have any influence on it, what's going on? It's because before you can go into widespread use, you've got to go through the process of testing. And you know what? It's not just alpha testing. There's beta testing. For some of you, you're up to like, you know, X-ray testing. However long it takes, whether that process is one day, 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade, however long it takes, there's a purpose in the pain. There's a purpose in the processing. You're being tested so that you can have that testimony. I love this definition of test: a movable hearth in a reverberating furnace. A movable hearth in a reverberating furnace that's used to separate gold and silver from lead. The testing is the movable hearth inside a furnace that separates the gold from the dross. The testing has a purpose. Hindsight leads to insight. You with me? Hindsight leads to insight. And insight leads to outsight. Hindsight leads to insight. Insight leads to outsight. Now all the things that have happened to me in my story become not about me when I start to turn that insight to outsight. I've been tested so I could be put into widespread use. I have a story. I have a testimony. Okay, so back to the Moni. What's the status of this test I'm in? Am I at the beginning? Am I somewhere in the middle? Or is that something I've already come through and I'm on the other side? The testimony doesn't have to wait until you're on the other side. You can give testimony when you know you're in the beginning of a test. You can give testimony somewhere in the middle. What's the status of the testing I'm in? The next thing is the role. What role does this test play in my life? Just like a character in a play, this role is helping me shape, well, this is helping me get my finances in order. This test is helping me get my relationships right. This test is because I had some priorities out of alignment and I need to have better health. What's the role of this test in my life? Not every testimony. We don't just have one. If your only testimony is 10 years old, get a new testimony. That was still good, but you got a lot more in there. And what's the function? The function of a test is its natural purpose. And the function of this testing is to refine you. It's to bring you. It's to have the gold come forth, the dross go away. So now how do we wrap this up? How do we take what we have about a testimony, right? Everybody with me. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Okay, so I understand what my testimony is. It is my story. It could be the insight I've gained during my processing. It could be many, many things about whatever's going on in my life. This is my story. And I want to apply the blood of the Lamb that gives me protection and deliverance and a new future hope and provides a witness. Are you with me? I'm throwing a lot at you, but I know you guys can handle it because I know where you are. All right. So I want to be able to apply all that together, put it together. There is an abiding present power, supernatural and invisible, on your story. Guys, this is what makes the difference between a memoir and an earth-shattering, changing, breakthrough, deliverance, devil-busting story. Songs that get written. What is the difference between a song that rends the heavens and pours out and a song that rhymes? And by the way, there is no such thing as Christian music. Music is his. There's some Christian lyrics, but music is his. I don't know what I said that for, but I said that because you know what? There are songs that have been written by people who aren't even saved that rend the heavens for me and send me on the floor into just absolutely wrecked status. And it's because it comes from a place of testimony. the things that you put out, anything that you're touching in business, anything that you're touching that you're producing, your story is mixed in with it. And the difference between whether or not it has an overcoming factor is whether or not you've applied the blood of the Lamb. I'm here this morning to declare to you there is freedom for you. There is deliverance for you. There is protection for you. There is the hope of a new future for you. And you have the job of witnessing to do. And this is a moment, this is a season where you're coming to another level. And all the things that have all been about you, and it's not bad. It's just that at some point in your life, about you, it gets boring. About you is too short-sighted. Hindsight should lead to insight, and insight should lead to outsight. We shouldn't get stuck in insight. We shouldn't get stuck in analyzing and analyzing and analyzing. How can I use this to a hurting world? And the truth is, if I've done the work of hindsight, and I've done the work of insight, and I've pushed myself to outsight, it will naturally lead me to foresight. I will begin to change in advance of what's coming. I will begin to live out a testimony before it's even happened. I will begin to step into new realms of expectation and glory. All of those things will begin to pour out to me because I've accepted the processing. And I'm no longer rebelling against the processing. I want to be bread and I want to be wine. And the sooner I get there, the better. I will yield to this grinding. I will yield to this kneading. I will yield to the molding. I will yield to the baking. And then I have to yield to being broken. Before any of that can come out. That's a lot of processing. And hallelujah, Father. And it's not for me. If I'm bread, I don't eat myself. The whole purpose of your destiny is for others. It's for the family of God. It's for you to lay down your life, lay down your story, submit it to that overwhelming, transcendent, powerful blood of Jesus for something to come out of it that's greater than you, that's beyond anything you've ever known or seen. And I'm telling you, the level of victory that's about to bust loose in your life, when you begin to honor, this is my testimony, this is my story, this is my song, and on purpose, I'm going to appropriate the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to put the blood of the Lamb over that thing that happened to me that hurt me. I'm putting the blood of the Lamb over that thing that I did to someone else and I hurt them. I'm going to apply the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost of every bit of my life, every room of my soul, every room of my mind. I'm going to apply the blood of the Lamb until I walk in such victory that people cannot help, but when they come inside my life for just a minute, they have the same protection, the same deliverance, the same witness comes upon their life because I was faithful to be broken and poured out. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there somebody in here who's ready to have a testimony? Yeah. Is there somebody who's in here ready to write something you've never written before, even if it's just a journal? Is there somebody ready to write a song that it doesn't just rhyme, it has the rend the heavens factor? Is there someone that's ready to go back into their business and their life is such a shining light that the Egyptians can come inside and have deliverance? If that's you, I just want you to stand to your feet. Hallelujah. My God is a good God. The blood of the Lamb, it has a releasing, resolving, protecting power. The blood of the Lamb removes even the potential for confusion. The blood of the Lamb overcomes the impact of rebellion. It breaks fear and it breaks shame. I declare, because I've come under the blood of the Lamb and I've applied it to my testimony, that hell is broken. My sin is neutralized. Death is overwhelmed, and every human need, every bit of my pain has already been addressed once and for all. I have overcome. I have overcome. Say, I have overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. So if it's you, I have an anointing on my life to release. If it's you and you've got something that you need to write, you need to create, you need to deliver, I want you just to kind of come up here and make a line. I'm just going to release it because God's put it on my life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we say,
we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome.
Come on. Hallelujah.
We shall overcome by the blood of
you're just about to step into battle and sing it with me. Say,
we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome.
Come on, one more time. Lift it up and say, we'll overcome.
We will overcome
by the blood. Businesses are coming. It's being released, Father. We apply the blood of the Lamb. We apply the blood of the Lamb and we overcome. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice one more time with me. Sing it out. Come on. Commission you to push insight to outsight, that you can walk in victory and your life can become so much bigger and so much deeper, so much fuller and so much richer in Jesus' name. Amen. Just give God a praise.
Wow. What a mighty army. Yeah, what a mighty army. That is what a good word. What a good word. So you all signed up to be bread that others might live. Huh? It's amazing. The great thing is the process, even though there are moments of pain, the process is all in His hands. So we're just partnering with Him to change the world. Oh, you guys are beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see a lot of great faces here. Just lovely saints that haven't quit. So I'm just going to bless you and release you. And I don't know if Wendy has any books to sign or anything, but I tell you what, you're going to have books that you'll sign, you know, and other things, businesses that bless, that are a testimony to the goodness of God. Homes, families, restoration. May the Lord bless you, keep you, make His face shine on you. That His presence would shine out of your life. May He be gracious to you every day. He redeemed our lives from the pit. Thank you, Lord. He's smiling at you when you pray. He loves to hear your words. Thank you, Jesus. And His shalom is upon you. You bear the name of Jesus wherever you go. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you.